So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, believe it or not, we are here. We are, for some reason, still having sound issues. Have no clue why. I'm actually using two different setups over the last 2 days, and it has not improved. Two different computers, two different mixers. I mean, we've mixed and matched everything, new, old. I've got to be honest, I think this is a BTR problem because Skype works fantastic as long as it's not going through BTR. But all of a sudden, when you go through BTR, there seems to be a major problem here. So I'm working with that. I've already contacted BTR. We'll see if we can find out what the problem is. In the meantime, Dale the Truth, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
If I was any better, it'd be sinful, man. You know, I like to say that to everybody, but right now I'm really quite depressed. And I tell you why. Because I am getting so sick of these sellouts destroying my America. It is unbelievable. As you know, the Senate has reached an agreement with Mitch McConnell to on a budget bill, and of course the House will vote on it later tonight. We'll wait for all votes tally up. But you know, even John Boehner is saying, you know, okay, go ahead and, you know, telling his Republican GOP conservative members to go ahead and vote for it. What's up with that deal?
Well, it's a fiasco. We knew that they were going to cave, and I think you might have accurately predicted when you thought it was going to happen. I guess I was hoping that the shutdown would last longer because it shows how little we need the government. And if 82% of the people are still working in government, then that shows we can get rid of the ones that aren't mandatory or whatever their word they want to use is. But it's a fiasco. Like I said, it's more the Democrats and Republicans raping the people, and the Tea Party uprising has just barely gotten started. I've told people that the Tea Party movement is just getting started, and thankfully for a few people in the Tea Party, that's all we had standing up to this disaster.
But are they really standing up? And I'm dead serious about that question, and I'll tell you why. Of course, Boehner decided he was going to tell everybody to go ahead. He wouldn't try to block the vote in the House tonight. And he goes on to say at a radio station in Ohio that we fought the good fight, we just didn't win. So when we say that the Tea Party is just starting, I've really got some...
Well, Boehner is not the Tea Party, though. Boehner is the anti-Tea Party.
I appreciate that, but that's where I'm going, though. Because you've got Ted Cruz taking all of this daggone TV time and everything he can get, okay? You've got, Rand Paul and the other Tea Partiers are out there and things like that. Here's the question. They have agreed to go ahead and just let the vote happen, too. They're not going to try to do anything tonight to offset the Senate because they're worried about the fiscal cliff. There is no fiscal cliff. And what really concerns me more than anything, if we get past the rhetoric, was anything really accomplished with Ted Cruz or any of the other ones that are sitting here during the shutdown, getting all this TV airplay, what was accomplished out of the rhetoric? Because
well,
they aren't doing anything to spit.
Well, the accomplished was more people are seeing stuff that's not controlled by the globalist media, because if they watch what he did on C-SPAN, there was no spin there. There was just... That's what I like. I don't like the commentators on the internet or on the websites or on the TV stations telling me what I'm supposed to think. And he was just telling you basically what was going down. So that's what was accomplished. He's only one person. And you can even go back to the Senate floor a couple of hours ago. You had, of all people, Marco Rubio was actually saying some things that made sense. It doesn't mean I like him, but he's not quite the same category as McCain. But see, Rubio made the mistake of thinking he could solve all these problems as soon as he got to D.C. by himself, and it did sound like a lot of campaign hyperbole, and he got badly played by Schumer and McCain, and this is the point. Cruz was successful because he's going to get more people to think, I need to run for office against some of the hacks like McConnell and Reid and McCain who are up here putting us through this rant.
But see, at the end of the day, Cruz is getting blamed for this shutdown and taking the heat. He's not getting anything out of it. Other than name recognition, which he hopes is going to benefit him for the presidential election. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm with all the Tea Partiers. We've had these discussions. But I'm really seriously concerned now about how serious anybody can take them because, for the last couple of weeks and for a long time now, actually, Tea Party has been blamed for everything wrong with government. All right. Once you got Ted Cruz, Rand Paul elected, the other Tea Parties, Justin Amash, and them here, they've all been like, well, this is why government can't do any good. The Tea Party's here. The problem, folks, is we've got 535 Congress critters. There's 435 in the House, and there's 100 in the Senate. But these 5 to 10 so-called Tea Partiers were able to shut down this big, bad government. And I guess what I'm getting at is, and this is why I'm kind of disappointed, because they have allowed themselves to some degree to be blamed for this, even though the reality is there's 525 other people actually caused this. This was business as usual in Washington. So what we've essentially done is kick the can down the road. The Tea Party folks like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul will have backlash from this. The Republican Party will suffer the backlash from this. And we're going to go further down the road of third world country status over the next 2 years. In my opinion, am I wrong?
Well, it's not that you're wrong, but here's the thing. It comes back to elections, and a lot of people don't remember people have very short memories in politics. Before Ted Cruz held that U.S. Senate seat, it was held by one of the biggest neocon hacks out there, Kay Bailey Hutchinson. And again, before Thomas Massie, who is one of the best voices we have, one of the new Ron Pauls, if you want to call it that, before he took the seat, it was held by a Republican who really wasn't worth much as a Republican, Jeff Davis, up in northern Kentucky. So we're getting replacements. And the bottom line is what I've been saying for a long time. It's this fight. I know Some people want to say there's not a fight in the Republican Party. Well, don't get me wrong. There's fights in the Democrat Party, too, but there's like 12 or 13 different factions of special interest groups, because you've got the gay activist groups, the black activist groups, the feminists. You have all these groups fighting each other. The Republican Party, it's strictly about big government Republicans versus liberty folks. And the GOP cannot survive without the Tea Party. That's why it's just getting interesting.
Well, I think it's very interesting, too. And I tell you what's more interesting to me than anything right now is when we look at this in play, again, we've got 5 to 10 that we can consider Tea Party throughout the entire Congress, you know, and they're getting blamed for everything. And that label has been sticking with the American public. See, that's the thing. These labels that have been allowed to use by the daggone liberal Democrat and Obama and Reid and Nancy Pelosi and their ilk, anarchists, terrorists, all these different things they've been able to label on Tea Party candidates have made Tea Party candidates suffer. Now, will there be more Tea Party people elected in the midterm elections in 2014? I don't know. But right now, they have allowed themselves to
be a lot elected. And the reason I think so is because I think you're overplaying the importance of the mainstream press. People are not, there are more people laughing. Hear me out, it's a percentage game. I'm not saying that the numbers have swung over to our side on the pendulum, but there are more people laughing at the mainstream press than ever before. Right here in Kentucky, and look, and we talked about it on these shows over a couple of years, look what the state media put Rand Paul through from 2009 to 2010. Look what they put Thomas Massey through from 2011 to 2012. And they both won in huge landslides, despite having everything thrown at them by the mainstream press.
Well, see, and I understand that. I understand that. Those were local elections. I guess what I'm looking at, I guess I'm looking to be inspired. Because for me, this particular situation right now, to me, was a very important event going forward in the future history of what we call America. And I tell you why. Because we are at the end of our debt rope, you know, we cannot continue down this path of non-existence. And as far as I'm concerned, Obama has been nothing more than a red herring. I know people are going to think that that's crazy, but Obamacare really, to me, is not that bad on the funding level when you look at everything else in play. We found out that we can do without 15% of the government. We found out 40% of federal employees actually work that 15% of non-needed people. How much money does that cost? And that's just the beginning of all the wasteful spending. So when we look at that in play, you know, nobody made the argument about that. And I expected the Tea Party guys to pick up that mantle because we continually talk about small government. You know, and then we look at the flip side of that, and we look at the situation as here we are. We've shut down the government, try to get control of this, and we're going to give up everything and not get anything in return, which they didn't, okay? But nobody even made the argument that in its present form, not the form that was passed in 2009, folks, but in its present form, Obamacare is illegal. It's illegal. There's no other way around that because all the exemptions that were not passed by Congress who passed the law in 2009. President Obama does not have rights to pick and choose who is going to be affected by law and who's not. It's an equal opportunity thing. Why didn't anybody pick up on that?
Well, I mean, I'm hearing what you're saying, but again, I think the Obamacare thing, yeah, it's a horrible situation, but here's the way I look at it. We can't let these things get us too depressed. I mean, I saw our good friend posted in the chat room what Rush Limbaugh said, that this is one of the greatest political disasters he's ever seen. Well, Rush is about hyperbole, and if this is one of the greatest political disasters he's ever seen, then he doesn't remember what he's been talking about on his radio show for the last 25 years, because these things happen, and it's going to be much harder to get the liberties back. I 100% agree. I'm the first one to say that. It's a lot harder to get the liberties back than it is to lose them, but, you know, you just can't lay down and die. I guess if somebody wants to go and take a bunch of pills or stick a gun in their mouth, they can do that tonight, but I'm not going to be the one to do that.
Well, I'm not either. It's just really interesting to me how this thing is being played out. And quite frankly, I am so, so disappointed in the so-called conservative group. And you know, anybody that's going to vote yes on this, as far as I'm concerned, needs to be voted out. Of course, I believe they should have voted out anyway, as we've talked about time and time again. It's just interesting to me because when we look here on the local level too, you know, one of the people that we talk a lot about on the show, when you're on primarily, is Mitch McConnell. Now, here Mitch McConnell is. He's going to get credit for brokering a deal with Harry Reid to keep the government operating and open the government back up. Is that going to work for him or against him in his election next year?
Well, it's going to work against him. McConnell sold out the Kentuckians with a default deal. Listen, when we have that election, again, it's just like when we had the election for Rand Paul. It's the only seat that's a federal seat that we all vote on. Yes, we have the state races every 4 years with governor, lieutenant governor, and all those constitutional statewide races. But this is the only race that the whole state votes on when it comes to a federal race. And he sold us out. I mean, he negotiated this debt ceiling with Harry Reid. And the bottom line is, I can go back to just the release that was put out today by I hope we get some more. I think the more the merrier for his competition. But so far, McConnell's only primary opponent, Matt Bevin, put out a press release, which I think said it just correctly. And it said, when the stakes are highest, McConnell can always be counted on to sell out conservatives. And that's what he did. Kentuckians, as you know, was talking to David Adams on the air. I think you had him on the air last night or the night before. Kentuckians
are
overwhelmingly opposed to Obamacare. So why would Mitch McConnell refuse to listen to his own constituents? His rotten deal is a slap in the face to Kentucky. So I think it's going to blow up in his face next year.
Well, you know, it's really interesting you take that role because I don't think Matt Bevin is strong enough to beat Mitch McConnell primary. You know, I don't see Matt Bevin as being a Tea Party, although he's trying to portray himself as such. So I don't think Mitch is going to have too much of a problem in the primary. I think he's going to win the primary handily. If for no other reason at all, with such a divided government and everything as crazy as it is, I think a lot of people are going to say, well, do we want to give up this supposed power of being the minority leader? Because we would definitely lose anything related to that position if McConnell was gone. So I think the primary is interesting.
The Tea Party label, Ed, and we've talked about this, you and me and also Mr. Martin on the airwaves. Tea Party can be whatever people want to call it these days. I mean, Tea Party is the most broad, misused term. If you want to find a bunch of homeless bums and then you can load them up in a bus and you can go find a bunch of nuns and maybe some Satanists, and you can go call them all the Tea Party. It's crap what people call the Tea Party. And the only thing I'll say in Matt Bevin's defense, I'm looking at his website right now and I've seen most of the press releases he sent out. I've never heard him call himself Tea Party. You just said he's passing himself off as Tea Party, and I've never heard himself call himself Tea Party. Have you?
No, he's not.
You just said he's passing himself off as Tea Party, Ed.
I agree with you there. He has never, ever referred himself as a Tea Party or a Libertarian.
Now, other people will call him Tea Party because they're hoping he will be.
Right, and see, that's the thing. They're trying to put a label on him that doesn't fit, and I think that that actually works against him more than helps him. And it's interesting because, you know, if Mitch McConnell does get out of the primary, okay, and I think he will, you know, then waiting in the wings is a Democrat favorite, you know, with Steve Beshear and all these guys. This nut job that's about as dumb as bricks to me, Allison Lundgren and Grimes.
She's got to be loving it right now because what's funny is the same people who will claim that they liked what McConnell did for selling us out will then vote for her over him because there's not all the logic there. You can't really connect the dots with these people who vote Democrat, but they will. They'll go out and vote for her even though McConnell did exactly what they wanted him to do, which will sell out. But they're going to go out and vote for her because she's a woman, because she's a Democrat, because she's not Mitch McConnell.
See, and you know, and I think that's a very interesting paradox, and I think you've got a lot of sense with that statement. But it's interesting, too, because Allison Lundgren Grimes is going around. They just released a statement yesterday, you know, bragging that they were to outraise Mitch McConnell in the last quarter. You know, they were able to raise $2.5 million in the first 3 months of the campaign. Mitch McConnell came in right around $2.3 million. You know, so they're acting like this is some kind of a big deal, yet for people like me who follow politics closely and people like you who follow politics closely, that's really not that big a deal because Allison Lundgren Grimes has spent the first 3 months doing nothing but a nonstop fundraising tour, including, you know, Martha's Vineyard, L.A., she went to Las Vegas. She's went to everybody that has all the big bucks. She only came back with $2.5 million, which is about average or less. So, you know, it's the fact that Mitch McConnell still has right at $10 million on hand, and she's only looked at $2 million. So I don't see that she's going to be able to spend more money than Mitch. So the question is, if Matt Bevin can't beat him in the primary, do we want Allison Lundgren Grimes in November?
No, and that's the dichotomy of these primaries, because there are so many people. This is the exact card that the establishment Republican Party tried to pull with us Liberty folks. They kept telling us how, we had to have a viable, quote-unquote, candidate when it came to a Trey Grayson or whoever the neocons favored, but probably Jeff Davis was. They kept telling us you got to have a viable candidate because when you get to November, you don't want to lose to the Democrat. Well, the difference in those races, those were open seats. This is their own incumbent. So my thing to them, to the neocon establishment hacks over there in off Mutual Bypass with their little headquarters over there, Jefferson County Republican Party, and whoever that new lawyer hack is that's running the group, I know they're listening. And my message to them is this ain't one of those primaries that's an open seat. This is your crusty old globalist, New World Order Republican, Teddy Ruxpin, no lips Mitch McConnell, who's been there for 30-some years, and he's not doing shit. So that's why we want him out.
Well, yeah, there's some really interesting things there. I don't know that Mitch can survive.
I mean, he didn't even negotiate anything. Here's my thing about him and Harry Reid. I hear people, and maybe it's just a matter of semantics, I hear them saying, he sold us out with the default deal, and I probably even use the words myself, but what did he negotiate? All he did was say yes, sir, to whatever Harry Reid said.
That's kind of where I'm leading to, because all they did, Harry Reid wanted to keep raise the debt ceiling until at least February 7th. Check, you got it. We're going to leave the government open until at least January 15th at the sequester levels. Check, you've got it. Where is this? They got absolutely nothing. The only thing that supposedly was added in this, and this was a no-brainer, this was a giveaway anyway, is they're now going to have some kind of income verification measures for anybody who's receiving Obamacare subsidies. Big whoop. You know. And here's a question for you in the chat room coming from our good friend Paul over Stop It. He's trying to understand. You know, he wants to know if they're going to repeal Obamacare, and whatever we see here, he wants to know why not. I'm going to give you first shot at that. Will they repeal Obamacare?
Oh boy, will the government repeal government health care?
Right.
I don't see how they can, because again, didn't our own little sellout, the ones the neocons love, John Roberts on the Supreme Court, didn't he say it was constitutional because it was a tax? So I guess there's a fine line between getting enough Republicans with balls to vote to repeal it and actually throwing it out. I think they'll try. I think how successful they are is determined by how many seats get overturned in Congress. If we get rid of some of these staunch, crusty old neocons that we're talking about, if we can have a Matt Bevin instead of Mitch McConnell, or a Joe Carr over Lamar Alexander, or a Lee Bright over Lindsey Graham, or hey, how many people knew that J.D. Winterreg is a primary opponent for John Boehner? If we can get those guys in, maybe they'll have a better chance at it, but if they don't, I say, hell no, they're not going to repeal it.
See, it's interesting to me, because what you just said, it just brings me back to where I started at earlier in the program. You know, the Supreme Court, the Congress passed the Affordable Care Act. The president signed it into law. And the Supreme Court said, yes, it's legitimate, except it's going to be a tax. So they labeled it a tax. So at that point, whether we liked it or not, it doesn't matter whether you're a fan or not, at that point, Obamacare was a reality. The problem I've got, it all comes back to legal. And I admit freely, I'm not an Obamacare fan. I admit that. I don't deny it. But for me, when you get to the middle and the root of the problem, as soon as Obama decided he was going to exempt corporations, he was going to exempt different things, he was going to start giving more here, more there, he made the distinction that he didn't have the authority to do. If the law is the law of the land, you cannot arbitrarily enforce or not enforce law, period. Especially laws be passed by Congress. So we've got this whole situation now that since Obamacare did not go through, it's an all or nothing deal. You have to do it, implement it fully, because that's the law, or you can't implement it at all. So at this point, I don't think it's a matter of whether it's going to be repealed or not. I wonder why the constitutionalists, the libertarians, the Tea Party guys, and everybody else did not go to the Supreme Court and demand a ruling on these exemptions, because at that point, I think, I might be wrong, because, you know, John Roberts approved this thing, but I honestly believe that at that point, the Supreme Court would have had to send this back to Congress. They would have had no choice. You cannot force it if you don't go back to Congress. So I don't think it needs to be repealed. I think it needs to be challenged in court, in a real court, and get it to the Supreme Court, and we wouldn't have this mess.
Well,
if it's challenged
in a real court, remember the people who wear the black muumuus in these courts were all appointed by the two major parties. I mean, this is the reason that I am in agreement with our friends like Michael Lewis and Kim Mulman when it comes to giving other parties a chance, because anytime you go before a court, unless it's a judge here in Kentucky, where thankfully we do elect judges, and I do agree, some people disagree with me. They think judges should all be appointed. But again, when you go to a court where a judge was appointed, you know who they got appointed by. Unless you go up to maybe Minnesota, find someone that Ventura appointed when he was governor, or go up to Angus, what's his name, in Maine when he was governor, all these judges in the black muumuus were appointed by Democrats and Republicans. We already see Democrats refuse to fess up to Obamacare being a disaster. Republicans refuse to stand up to Obamacare. So if you're going to go to courts that were appointed by the same two parties that passed it, why do you think you're going to have any more success there?
See, I totally get that. But the point is, though, I mean, to me, you still have to have success, even in Kentucky. Even in Kentucky, with everybody bought and paid for here, you know, we were still able to have some success sometimes. I mean, even Jim King, I'm not a lawyer, and I had to fight in front of a Kentucky entity called the KREF and was able to get the highest fine in Kentucky history against Jim King. So you can still get, you might not get everything you want, but you can still get some justice somewhere. And that's the thing for me, because this is clearly an open and shut deal. You cannot implement a law partially if it's not written that way that Congress has approved and the president signed off on. And I'm just disappointed in the Tea Party, the libertarians, constitutionalists for not raising that argument. I think if they would have raised that argument months ago, or at least alluded to that argument months ago, and made it a point of contention, that we could have probably avoided a lot of this. And it's really interesting, too, because our good friend Paul is in the chat room, you know, and he says it's going to be repealed. The question is when it's going to be repealed. And he's referring to prohibition as an example, you know, because prohibition was passed and everything
example,
else.
It was one of the few things that I would say that they got wrong in amendments to the Constitution. I mean, I'm a big fan of the first 10 amendments called the Bill of Rights, but there were a few things they got wrong, I think. And our good friends, my man, the group that I've been part of for over decades now, Take Back Kentucky, will tell you one of the things that the constitutional remakers, or whatever you want to call them, the people who got these amendments out there got wrong, was when we all of a sudden started letting the populace elect U.S. senators. It would be a lot better off if we hadn't gone to that. I remember when Blackjack David Williams tried to jump on that bandwagon, but everybody knew that he didn't come up with the idea himself. But getting back to the Constitution, with Obamacare, the thing is, it all goes back to the Supreme Court that we just talked about, because remember, the bill as written would have been struck down, and basically John Roberts rewrote the bill on the fly, making it constitutional. One of the ideas we occasionally hear floated to make the ruling class suffer will say, oh, that they should be having to be under Obamacare. But the problem is, it's never legally been amended.
I'm totally with you there, and I tell you what, let's take a quick break. When we get back from break, we're going to get into some more of this and talk about ramifications. So, folks, stick with us. You're listening to the Ed Sprengster Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. If you want to call in, the numbers are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys that are in the listening queue, remember you can always push that number 1 and we'll get you on there. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. So you're driving down the road minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding, or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Sprengster of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
advertisers. Here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Dirty Laundry. I like that line. It was interesting when people die. And I tell you why I like that line, because essentially today we just killed millions of Americans. Killed at least thousands of Americans, eventually millions of Americans, because of the stupidity that we call Washington, D.C. Obamacare is doomed to be a failure. There's no doubt about it. And it's really interesting, too, because if you want to get the real numbers, you know, forget listening to your PMSNBC, your CNN, and all that crap. If you want to get the real numbers, go to the Daily Mail of the UK. The Daily Mail of the UK has an article out that says that 51,000 people have actually completed an Obamacare application. 51,000. So if you think everybody just loves Obamacare, we know that everything is a lie. And that's exactly what the Tea Party, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul have been telling us. But still.
Well, they told you you had to have this bill because there were all these people without health care. And they sold a bill of goods, and people bought it, hook, line, and sinker. And the problem is, not that they bought Obamacare, but the problem is that he got reelected. And that went back to the whole thing with the two parties. We saw what they did, and I'm sorry if the Republican Party had a reputable person who was running in the general election instead of Mitt Romney, I think that Obama would have been beaten. But they did the same thing they always do. They did the same thing they did when Bill Clinton was running for reelection. They put up a has-been sack who's not constitutional, who's not the definition of conservative Republican, and then they wonder how we got into this situation.
You know, you're absolutely right. And sorry, good friend Paul, for letting me know about that article, because I had not seen that yet. You know, and according to Rush Limbaugh, you know, I don't listen to Rush every day, but again, you know, people do, and I get these things. This came from Paul as well. But according to Rush Limbaugh, there has to be 7 million enrollees minimum in Obamacare to be self-sustaining. They've got 51,000. And of the thousands of people that are out there trying to sign up for Obamacare, I'll be honest with you, with the exception of the one guy that they planted to go on the news and tell this feel-good story for them, I can't find any one person who has went online and got their rates that weren't getting sticker shock and are not enrolling in Obamacare just because of that. But unfortunately,
there are people enrolling in it. I mean, I'm sure there are some plants, like you said, some hacks that were put out there as patsies. But other than that group, I mean, the only people enrolling in it are those who either, A, think they're going to get something for free. And we heard what our friend Paul Hossie had to say about trying to enroll when he tried. And number two group that is trying to enroll is only the ones who are afraid that they're going to get penalized heavily financially if they don't enroll. So that's, again, look what they patted this after. This is just like taxation. None of you out there, well, I mean, somebody might out there pay their taxes, because they really like it and enjoy it. But my guess is that most people out there, think about the host on this airwaves, think about yourself and Mr. Martin and myself and Mr. Molman, we don't pay taxes because we want to. We pay them because we're afraid what will happen to us if we don't. And that's the only reason anybody's going to sign up for Obamacare is either A, they think they're getting something for free, the whole food stamp group, look at what happened with the food stamps this week, and B, the groups who think they have to sign up for it or they're going to get penalized.
Now, see, I find that offensive. Really, really do, because I'll tell you why. Because we've got millions of liberals out there who believe that President Obama and the Democratic Senate should have the ability to spend all the money they want to. And I swear to you, I believe this. I believe that they would voluntarily give the government all their money to make sure that no one did without. Don't you? I mean, that's the reality of it, though.
They don't even want to go by the same rules. I mean, they don't think that these rules... I mean, they believe in two classes of citizens. There's them and there's us. They believe that you need to keep reelecting them. They might do like Mitch McConnell and grace them, grace yourself with their presence. I mean, look how long Mitch McConnell's been in office, Ed. I think you've lived in Kentucky for most of the time that McConnell's been elected, right?
I've lived in Kentucky my whole life.
I think you were away in the military maybe a little at the beginning
right,
of his term.
For 4 years, so, from 1987, yep.
Okay, so you think about the time you came out to Kentucky until now, and you think about how active you have been involved in politics more or less since then. How many times has Mitch McConnell ever come to talk to you? How many times have you even seen Mitch McConnell in public?
Actually, it's really funny because I've actually seen Mitch McConnell in public about four or five times, and I've actually tried to talk to him twice. And I've actually tried to talk to him twice, and he's walked away both times. So
yeah, he wants to talk to you.
Sure.
If you're holding the money bags, if you're like a John McCarthy or an Ellen Williams holding all the money bags, you look at these former chairmen and call my bluff, folks. Go look it up. Go do the research on all the former party chairmen of Kentucky's Republican Party who've gone on to be six-figure lobbyists. And if you're one of those guys, he'll listen to you, but otherwise he doesn't have time for you.
Oh, I agree totally. Let's go to the phones. Uh-oh, I pushed some buttons, man. This is our good friend, Mr. Paul Holler over. Stop it. What's going on, sir?
Hey, boys and girls. Are we having fun yet?
Top of my life, man, as usual. What's happening with you?
Well, I know Dale enjoys beating the snot out of Mitch McConnell and the Republicans.
That's
because,
fun.
You know, let's face it, the Republicans definitely screwed over him in a party manner. but that having been said, a lot of the behaviors that McConnell and crew exhibit, they're not unique to the Republicans because the Democrats do it too. And the whole concept about McConnell being inaccessible, my God in heaven, that seems to be one of the prerequisites for being in elective office at any level these days. In fact, the media actually makes a big deal out of one of these clowns decide they want to be accessible, you know, that they're out there doing stuff. They cover them because it's so unusual. So, I'm kind of in agreement with Dale about this bunch that's in charge of things. This goes way back to medieval England, and where we had kings and barons, and then we had serfs. And by God, we're in the serf category, big time. Now, why do these clowns stay in office? Well, they don't have as much power as kings and barons did. But the reason they don't do away with these programs, I would like to offer this as a hypothesis, is that they somehow, some way, have figured out how to benefit from all of these programs. Case in point, we know that a lot of people who receive some type of government benefits, and we'll call it welfare or AFDC, whatever, we know that the people who engage in that particular industry, and I use that term deliberately, they understand those programs better than the people who created the programs. And so you talk about working the system. There's a number of them that are working the system. And
well,
they're
Paul,
the
I
ones
think...
that keep...
Yeah, go ahead.
And they're the ones that keep these political hacks in office.
Well, that's
because
what I want to address
political
about
hacks
keeping,
are saying,
keeping the political hacks in office, Paul, because here's my question. I think more than ever, excuse me, we need to focus on what we have phrased here as the Uniparty, because think back about this, Paul. You ever run into an old married couple and maybe they bicker in front of you and you think that they really have issues But don't let them fool you, because they're joined at the hip. They're eternally bound. So you think they're at each other's throats, but they're meant to be together. Isn't it romantic? Doesn't it remind you of the two major parties?
I like your analogy, Dale. It's very good.
I mean, is that not what they're like? I mean, think if someone tried to bring in a third person. Will you be a freak? You can't have a third person in a marriage. And that's the way they treat you if you bring in another party. I've brought up the analogy before of it being a football game. Since they love to play with the R or the D on their chest, that's their team logo. That's what they're loyal to. And think about how weird they would look at you and think that you were if you walked into their private football game between two teams. A game, mind you, just a game, doesn't mean anything because they have it all planned out in advance. But think about if you brought your own team onto their field. We all know there's only room for two football teams on a football field. They would look at you like you're crazy, and that's what they look at it like. It's their little ball game.
Well, it is their little ball game, but let me say this.
So with this.
Go ahead, Paul.
So with this astute observation, Dale, what's the solution, man? What's the solution? I mean,
well, the solution
is people
involved. You have to look at it. If you're going to look at it as a sporting event, you got to look at it more of a horse race. Horse races are interesting, and they can be more exciting than a football game sometimes because of all the parties involved. And I've talked about this out on the social networks. You go to other countries, and you have 20, 30, 40 political parties involved. And guess what? They survive. But somehow, because this grand experiment has lasted over 230 years, people think, well, we got to do it this way. It's always been this way. No, no, no. It hasn't always been this way. George Washington did not have a political party.
I don't think it's that, Dale. I don't think that there's so much people anymore that believe it's always been this way. We have to continue it. I think that people
they don't
have
any difference, what I mean.
Well, here's the thing. Because, you know, there's been a system in place for decades now to make people more and more dependent on federal government for their survival.
Correct.
That's why you have almost half of this country on some sort of federal, you know, dependency of something, whether it's food stamps, Section 8, AFDC, okay? And here's the thing that puzzles me about this shutdown. Because this shutdown, during this shutdown, we saw something that's never happened 17 times before. We saw a president who intentionally shut down national parks. We saw a president of the World War II memorials. Saw a president attack veterans, take the national parks out. I mean, we even have something as simple as the crash site in Pennsylvania from the 911 plane crash. They had that blocked off, and they wouldn't let anybody go there to pay respect to the victims of to the people that were on the plane. So we've shut all of this stuff down. This has purely been intentional, and, you know, we've tried to inflict as much pain on American people as we can. You know, and then when you want to do some kind of comparison to this, I mean, let's do a comparison here. What, was it 2 years ago is when Occupy was around? So during Occupy, you didn't see, you know, the police shutting everybody off of these parks. These guys were defecating on public park property. You know, we had crime going on, rapes, all kinds of crap at the daggone parks. All this other stuff where the illegal occupiers were at, and they were illegal by definition. They weren't allowed on that land and using it the way it was. This was 2 years ago. But not one time did the president or anybody else try to tell them you can't do this because it's illegal. But as soon as President Obama wants to inflict pain, he tells the veterans, you can't go to your memorial and pay your respects that you paid for through blood, sweat, tears, and your tax money.
But not only are the people so dependent upon the federal government, Ed and Paul, not only are the people so dependent upon it, they're in no ways embarrassed or ashamed of their dependence. They're proud of their dependence. And rather than being independent, they're proud of their dependence. And I really want Paul to weigh in on this, because, Paul, you and I'm getting more sound background there, guys. You there?
Yeah, we're
there. I'm still here.
Okay, I guess the black helicopters didn't like what I was talking about. All of a sudden, my feedback was getting bad. But, Paul, I definitely want you to comment about this, because look what just happened with the EBT, which is like the new politically correct term for food stamps. Look what happened when there was just a short little glitch in the food stamps. I want you to tell me what would happen if that EBT glitch or those people weren't getting their food stamps. What if that went on for like a month? What would happen?
Likely we would have, at the very least, we would have protests out in the street.
I think you're being
that's
very kind.
Hell.
At the least.
I mean, let's look at the reality.
When you see
Kroger stores burning. I think you see Kroger and Walmart stores on fire.
You're correct.
But let's look at what happened. I mean, they shut down in 17 states. And I'm sorry, I want to put this out there because a lot of people don't even know about this story. But the EBT system shut down in 17 states for less than 24 hours. It was a matter of hours. They had some kind of a glitch in their backup system that caused the EBT system to go down in 17 states. And what did we see? We saw people running into Walmart and stuff, and they were loading up baskets with hundreds and hundreds of dollars of groceries that they didn't have any money on their EBT cards to pay for. There was at least two stores that I know of that kept the doors open and went ahead and let them buy anyway. People are going in there buying $800 to $1,000 worth of food that they only had $200 EBT limit on. Nobody knew it. So the federal government is going to pick up this tech for this. But more importantly, what happened? You saw people that when the EBT system came back up while they were in the store shopping, they were rioting and running out the daggone door while they were down, and then they were stealing food in the baskets when they came back up because they knew they didn't have the money on the EBT card to pay for it. You already had riots and everything else in all of these stores, and nobody did a damn thing.
Well, that's why I asked about the glitch in the system. That's why I asked about the glitch in the system, Ed, because there is a letter going around on the Internet, and I don't know if it's hoax or truth, but Steve Hoffman over at the New York Political Examiner was the one that was really pushing it out over at Examiner.com. And this letter he's talking about supposedly says that the USDA is warning that we could have glitches in the EBT food stamp system that could last for a month at a time, starting next month, right before the holidays.
Why not? We just found out Obamacare had all these years to be implemented. We just found out Obamacare had these years to be implemented, and we hired a flunky out of Canada who got fired from Canada because they put together a system that didn't work, and we hired them to put together the same system that didn't work here in America. And we know that Obamacare system continues going down. It's not unusual for any computer system to have glitches, ghosts in the machine that's going to cause an outage at some point.
Yep.
So that's what I don't get about this whole situation. It's one of the reasons, actually, I would much rather pay a little bit more and have the old food stamp coupons that they used to use back in the 70s and stuff. I would love to see that come back. I wonder how many people would be proud of going to the store and using those.
That's what I'm saying. There was a stigma attached. Now people don't know if you're using your EBT card for food stamps or if you're using a gift card or your credit card that belongs to Goldman Sachs and the Visa folks. People don't know what you're using, and people are proud of those cards. I mean, you look at some of the stories that came out, and like you said, they were filling a grocery cart full of groceries that they knew they did not have the funds to pay for. So that's called theft.
Agreed. Paul, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want to make sure we put that out there because we had that in a matter of hours.
Well, again, boys, you guys are very good at identifying the problems, and you're very good at exploring solutions. But what's it going to take to get any of your solutions implemented? Right now, working within the system is not working very well at all.
Paul, I don't know that there is a solution to this, guys, anymore.
There
are several solutions. Go ahead.
No, there is a solution, but you guys tiptoe around it and you dance around it and you won't come right out and say what the only solution that is guaranteed to change the status quo is, and that is a realignment of either our states, which would be the more peaceful way, or just the third American revolution.
Now, we're on the same thought plane, Paul, because I was going to say it just depends on what level you're speaking of, because the solutions are anywhere from civil disobedience, the people withdrawing from the system and going John Galt and stop contributing to the system, to nullification, to secession. So there are solutions.
But see, that's the whole thing, though. And again, I'm gonna stand by what I said. There's no one-size-fits-all. We can talk about the Third American Revolution all we want to. We can talk about peaceful demonstrations, et cetera. But the reality is there are so many people that are dependent on government, they're not going to bite the hand off that feeds them, number one. And the second reality is that we are so divided, you couldn't get a consensus and get a majority of people to do just that. We found that out with Occupy. Occupy started out as a great concept, didn't they? But as soon as they got any kind of notoriety whatsoever, they started going in so many different directions, they completely fell apart and forgot what their core mission was. You don't have that dedication that the Patriots that came before us had. So, I mean,
well, the reason I have hope,
Ed,
the reason I have a little bit of hope in civilization, in little, at least in small pockets thereof, is something I saw this past weekend because I went to one of my favorite spots, and that is Knob Creek for the machine gun shoot. And I saw thousands and thousands of people who weren't dependent on EBT tickets, who don't have food stamps, who aren't living off the government. I saw thousands of people.
You assume that.
I'm sorry?
You assume they're not, that none of them are food stamps and none of them
have
any
government. Well, it goes against the grain, but you know what I mean. That group, that statistic of people is not going to lay over and roll over and die. So I think Paul is, you know, Paul likes to prod us with the poker and get us to go over
sure.
the edge and talk about things like secession and that kind of thing. And that's fine. I'm just saying there's enough of those people out there. It's just a matter of how far the pendulum swings.
Well, I think you're right on the pendulum, man. But I'm really hung up right now on the reality that the American people overall expected exactly what we just got, that there was not going to be any meaning changed, that there was no strength of conviction or substance in this whole shutdown. We all knew that the GOP was going to cave. They started caving almost right away when they started sending alternate proposal after alternate proposal. Everybody knew that they were going to use as a point of contention Obamacare, which is nothing but a red herring for the biggest problem in America today, and that's the fact that the government won't live within their means. So we know all of these things. Have we become so complacent? And that's why the revolution, the other things that people talk about, I agree with in theory, but I don't think it's a realistic approach because I don't think we'll get that. I don't, and it's because people have become so complacent and so dependent, and I think that's exactly by design. If you make people dependent, they're less likely. Yeah, you know, they're less likely to rise. So what do you do?
Yeah, remember, Ed, you got to be careful when you say it's by design. People are going to say you're a Looney Tune tinfoil hat, and they're going to say you're just anti-police and all that stuff. You got to remember that.
Oh, I always get accused of that anyway. I'm probably the most middle of the road, if you will. You know, we try to look at all viewpoints on this show, so it's not a matter of being a tinfoil. You just got to put out there, you know, the reality of the situation. People are going to make of it what they want. But think about that, too. People that used to stand up and sell the truth like you do, like I do, like Paul does and others do, you know, now all of a sudden we've got these labels. We're conspiracy theorists. We're tinfoil hats. You know, tell me that wasn't by design, too, to try to daggone, you know, take away from the dissenting voice. I mean, that's it.
Sure.
You belittle them, you know. They attack you and shut you down because it's the only thing they know how to do. And that's the real tragedy of America today. I don't know how to overcome that. Do you?
You just got to educate people, again, at all levels. The voting, the problem is with the voting. There are a lot of people out there who, as long as they go out and vote straight Republican, and I'm sure on the other side there's some people out there who think as long as they go out and vote straight Democrat, they think they're the solution when they're the problem. And again, I'm not saying you got to vote independent on everything, but we've talked about some of those solutions. How do you get those implemented when the people running the government are only from those two parties? That's why I said you got to have a crack in the door so you can get your whole foot in there eventually. And again, if it starts small, you got to educate people that going out and voting straight party or going out and voting just for because who your neighbor tells you to vote for, you're not helping the problem. You are part of the problem. But if you're willing to get out there and do civil disobedience, if you're willing to go out there and film what the police are doing to folks, if you're willing to go out there and tell the truth about what minorities are doing to white folks, then you might be able to educate some folks.
See, that's the whole thing. People don't want to be educated anymore. They don't have any desire to learn anything. And that's really interesting because, I mean, if you want to look at the Obamacare thing that we've continued to harp on, okay, you know, let's look at Barack Obama's hometown right there in Chicago in Illinois. Illinois was out there blasting to the whole world. Obama told the whole world you could keep your insurance plan that you have right now. That turned out to be a lie. Okay, you can't do that. That was wrong. So now we've got Illinois out there that was telling the whole world that insurance premiums were going to be a lot lower. And now they found out that 21 of the 20 lowest priced plans, you know, right there in Chicago, you know, have annual deductibles of more than $4,000 and $8,000 for families, and premiums are more than any family can afford to pay. So we know that all of this was built on a lie. This is nothing more than a socialistic lie. But people have been divided at this point. Now, Paul talked earlier about prohibition in the chat room, mentioned it on the show, Dale. But, you know, it took 14 years to get rid of prohibition, but they did do it. But at the same time, You know, how are you going to sit here and fight to get rid of Obamacare if you're living on food stamps or Section 8 housing? You're not. You don't have a voice.
I think the only way you're going to get those people to see it, and it's sad to say this, but I think since you don't have Obama running for president again, unless they decide to get rid of the 22nd Amendment, as long as you don't have Obama running for president, there's going to be a lot of people who aren't voting for the man just because of his color. And there was something that came out in the news this week. I don't know if it's true or not, but it was a story supposedly, remember our good old friend Joe the Plumber, remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Joe the Plumber supposedly came out and said that we needed a white Republican president. I don't know if he said that or not. I don't know that much about Joe the
that
Plumber.
That actually, I've actually got that for you. That actually wasn't Joe the Plumber. It was Kevin Jackson with the Black Spear. Joe the Plumber just went ahead and reposted it. And he got all the credit.
Well, my
for
point to all that is, and I didn't know how legitimate that was or not. I didn't know it was from the Black Sphere. But my point to that is, how is that any different from millions and millions of proud blacks and guilty-feeling whites who admitted they voted for Obama because he was black? It's no different. It's no different. It amazes me, folks, all the time. I ran into somebody the other day in my line of business, and I'll keep it very generic so I'm not shedding any light on who or where or what this happened. But I had a person tell me in my line of business, I had a person tell me via the office that she was ripping everything that we do in this country. She was ripping outsourcers. She was ripping people who didn't speak English. But at the end of the sentence, she said, "But you know what? I know I'm not a racist because I'm African-American."
Gee,
so her point was
special.
She's not capable of being racist because she's African-American. And
right.
My point to all this, to running around it, to get back to the point, is dear leader Obama is not running again in 2016 unless they repeal the 22nd. And there's not another black guy going to be running, so guess what the Democrats are going to do? They're going to get back to putting up old, pasty, rich white guys. So maybe
no, they're not.
They're
going to put up Hillary Clinton. We just had a black Miss President.
Like I said, an
so
old, rich,
get Hillary
pasty,
Clinton.
White guy.
No,
and maybe that'll get people who are dependent upon their EBT. This is a pipe dream. I realize it. But maybe when they're not voting on somebody strictly on their color, maybe they'll be able to be weaned off, maybe.
Well, we'll see. We're running late in the hour, but I'm going to take this last call. This is a good friend of the show. Mayo, how are you, sir?
Oh, doing pretty good, Ed. Been kind of listening or trying to throw my 2 cents in here, and y'all can or anybody can take it how they want, but it's the way I feel. Like what Romney said, 47.2 or 47.6% of people don't pay taxes. I don't know what amount there is on welfare, but I'm to me, if you are not contributing to society, once it hits a certain point, I mean, everybody needs a hand up, not a handout, then I'm sorry, it should be like, you know, when you break the law and go to jail, you lose your right to vote. So while you're on welfare, if it's past a certain time, 6 months or whatever, after that, you lose your right to vote. And then the people can't vote themselves money and can't keep these people in office.
That's an interesting concept. I really don't think I can agree with it, but it is an interesting
alternative.
Well, remember
there was a time, Mayo, when you had to be, you know, back to all those horrible things about our past. Everybody hates dead white people. There was a time you had to be a landowner or a property owner to vote.
Well, but that, you know, here's the deal for me.
And I don't think that's a bad idea, but we know we'll never get back to it. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think everybody's had the right to vote, and just because you have to be, you know, buying some government subsidies should not eliminate you from having the right to vote. For me, why not stop the government subsidies in 6 months? Then you don't have this problem. You know, the problem right now is you've got people that can collect unemployment for 99 weeks, and they do. They do intentionally. They're going to ride it as long as they can, because today, quite frankly, if you're going to let go of a good, a decent job, you know, making 15 or 16 bucks an hour, you can't go out and replace it. You've got to go to work for 10 bucks an hour. And you've been built up in unemployment where you're going to make more than unemployment. When unemployment is more attractive than going to work, then the system has failed. And it's the same thing with Section 8 housing. When you've got to pay $5 or $10 a month for rent, there's no incentive to do any difference. So I can't necessarily agree with the premise, Mayo. It's an interesting contrast. But I can't necessarily agree with the premise of if you're on this stuff more than 6 months, you should lose your right to vote. I think you should cut off entitlements after 6 months, and you ain't got to worry about your right to vote. Make sense?
Yeah, true. But, you know, it kind of falls into here we have, you know, the Dream Act, et cetera, so many people being forgiven where, you know, I don't know how to put it. It's like if you're not contributing to our society, if you're not helping the ship of America stay afloat, after a while, people have to realize it's so much dead weight. You know, a lifeboat is only so big, can only hold so many people, and your intentions might be all well and good. You want to save everyone, but sometimes you can't. You have to be like, okay, are you helping? Are you providing food, a service, of you know, whatever? If not, yeah, I'd like to help you, but if I take you in, you're going to sink everyone.
I mean, I think the reason that we should not have people voting who are on government programs, forget what any of the neocons from today say, hell, we've talked about this on the airwaves here. I only have about 6 or 7 people in all the Congress that I trust. I would, you know, trust the party enough to throw them. But the reason
those 6 or 7 that you trust shut down the government and went against the other 525 people, okay? Go ahead, man. I just think that's so stupid.
No, I just know the reason I say that is because I won't go with any of the modern-day neocons. The reason I think that we don't need people on government assistance voting, I'll go back to one Benjamin Franklin. He said, when the people find they can vote themselves money, that will herald the end of our republic.
Franklin was right. I think we're living it today. Mayo, Paul, thanks for the calls. We are out of time. Dale, final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts, and I'm glad Mayo said what he did, because it really is the reason I think everybody needs to go read Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, or if you really want to be watered down, watch the movie version, because what Atlas Shrugged talked about was the battle between the makers and the takers. And Ayn Rand so vividly portrayed that in Atlas Shrugged, and it goes on today. And if you watch that movie, you think, oh, well, there's nothing to that today. That movie was based on a book from like 70-some years ago now, and the movie's marketing was primarily online, so it had a mostly young audience. But nevertheless, the scenes were effective. And they talked about in that movie, if people who are making things stop making things, what are you people who want to take things going to take them from? Death to the New World Order.
You know, you can't argue with that logic. That's very true. You know, in this particular case, you know, we see more and more people taking and less people giving. You know, and quite frankly, the takers are federal government. But I'm really disturbed by the conscience of America this time. And I tell you why, because 17 prior times we have had a shutdown. We understand that politics are going to be in play here. Most American people are not stupid. We know it's all going to be political, one side or the other, and they're going to finally come together, and nothing meaningful is going to be done. All right, they're going to have their kumbaya moment, as I like to refer to a lot in this program. But the conscience of America has really let me down. Because, you know, this shutdown happened for the 18th time since 1977. And had a president and a party, the Democrat Party, intentionally bringing harm and inflicting as much pain as they could on the American people themselves. When you shut down the parks, you're shutting down memorials, you're hiring people to shut things down that are always open and never guarded anyway, and adding to the debt and the problems just so you can try to prove a point, that's a personal thing. Barack Obama, Harry Reid, and the Senate Democrats have made it personal against the veterans. And that's not all. Our active duty men and women, we have a Catholic priest, the Father Ray Leonard. He's a staff captain at Kings Bay in Georgia. He actually filed a lawsuit against the Department of Defense, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, Department of the Navy, and the Navy Secretary Ray Mabus. And the reason for this, because Eric Holder got with the Department of Defense and said that the priests weren't allowed to give communion or say masses whether they were paid or not. This is disturbing. Because what they're saying, what Eric Holder says, that current reading of the law, the standard of support to members of the armed forces requires a focus on those employees whose responsibilities contribute to the morale, well-being, capabilities, and readiness of military members to shut it down. You can't be in a military, for the most part, these days. I'm sorry. If you're not religious, when you join the military, you become religious pretty quick. And that faith sustains you through a lot of hard times. You got to tell me, under any situation, that a Catholic priest who is willing to volunteer his time and serve communion to our armed services, our forces, in a time of all these wars and everything else and this uncertainty, that that's not going to benefit and enhance their morale. This is another step towards making it personal. We talk a lot about Barack Obama and supposed Muslim ties. I don't think there's much doubt about that. We let Muslims give speeches on the 4th of July telling us we're all murderers and crooks and convicts. But we can't have a priest give communion to a soldier. We tell the whole world that national parks are closed and nobody's allowed on the mall in D.C. Screw the veterans. We allow illegal immigrants because you've got 30 Democrat elected leaders, including Nancy Pelosi, take 2 or 3 days to build a stage at the mall in D.C. and hold a rally. Something is wrong with the conscience of America. And I find it disturbing. I served my country. I did it to the best of my ability. I would gladly do so again. But man, I tell you, it's disappointing. It's disappointing to see that sacrifice that myself, thousands and thousands of my brothers and sisters throughout our history have made has led to this. You guys need to wake up. That's all there is to it. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Dale the Truth will be here with the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. And don't forget our good friend Kim Ullman, Sunday night at 7 with Liberty Unbridled. That's it for me this week, folks. Have a great week. And for goodness sake, pay attention and get accountability. We deserve a hell of a lot better than we're getting. Take care. See you later.
Married, we're gonna have a baby or two. We're gonna I like Sunday, relaxing with a hot chick and a cold beer on a warm day. Some way, I gotta make it happen, cause a dollar is worth nothing if you ain't got more to stack it in. Some say, the facts don't lie, well my pockets are empty, my stomach's rumbling and my mouth is dry. Some say, others pass by, but it's the ones that pass away that make us wanna stay alive. And so, I say, I cannot die, not why people rely on me to provide. And yes, I may stray from time to time, but my past always brought me back around to see the brighter side. I pray rainy days will stay away, because my umbrella is broken and the sunshine never stays. And so I lay my heart into every line, because without emotion I'm promoting nothing but these rhymes.
I know it's hard for you, you've been trying to make it right. I know it's hard for you.
Somber from the things that we've all been exposed to. Supposed to be searching for something we never really find. So we hustle and grind, trying to make ends meet all the time. I find the more you try, the more you fail. So either cry better to step off stage and give them hell. And mama, I know you're crying cause I'm out on my own. I can hear it in your voice when I'm calling you on the phone. But I'm not alone, trust me. Know that I got a home. And yes, my girl left, but my heart will never be sold. So miss me, but please don't cry for me. When we get rich, you're gonna see how life can be. So let's rewind to a time when things were okay. Don't know I can make it happen, but I'll do what it takes. And know that I will always appreciate what you did for me. So keep looking forward to someday.
I know it's hard for you. You've been trying to make it right. I know it's hard for you.
Pound, extreme, my damn name just for now. I'm getting paid big change, wondering how little buddy change lanes. Everybody trying to say that I couldn't make it this far. When they told me the ball, what you looking at me for? I hope this guy, cause you found a star. You